5 things to know this morning. 1. Iran is burying Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The state funeral runs through Thursday. Officials claim more than 10 million mourners, and the international guest list is its own story. Russia's Medvedev, Pakistan's Prime Minister, a senior Chinese official, Iraq's President, a Hamas delegation. 2. Saturday. America turned 250. President Trump keynoted a salute to America on the National Mall before a giant fireworks display. It was also the hottest 4th of July on record in Washington, 102 degrees, and heat forced cancellations across the Northeast. 3. Trump's annual financial disclosure, more than $2 billion in income last year, roughly $1.2 billion of it from crypto, meme coins and World Liberty financial tokens. 4. Ukraine. Russia's summer advance is reported collapsing, with Kyiv estimating nearly 40,000 Russian casualties in June, but a Russian barrage killed 31 in Kyiv. 5. In AI, Anthropic launched a science and drug discovery push, and the White House is finalising a voluntary AI standards framework, the one from June's executive order, due next month. I'm Pip. Today is Monday, July 6th, 2026. 5 sections: the funeral, the 250th, the disclosure, Ukraine, and the AI and Washington roundup. Here we go. Iran. The state funeral for Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, assassinated February 28th in the joint US-Israel operation, has been running since Friday and continues through Thursday. The farewells have run through Tehran and Qom. The body moves next toward the Iraqi shrine cities of Najaf and Karbala, and then to burial at the Imam Reza Shrine in Mashhad, reported for Thursday, July 9th. Iranian officials say more than 10 million mourners have taken part, which, if close to true, would be one of the largest funerals in modern history. The main Tehran procession ran about 10 kilometres from Imam Hossein Square to Azadi, Freedom Square, and the guest list is a map. Russia's Dmitry Medvedev as Vladimir Putin's special envoy, Pakistan's Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, China's He Wei, a vice chair of the National People's Congress Standing Committee, Iraq's president, Afghanistan's foreign minister, and a delegation from Hamas.
Read the guest list as a diplomatic instrument, because it was assembled as one. Every delegation is calibrated. Russia sends Medvedev, senior, loud, deniable, not Putin. China sends a parliamentary vice chair, respectful, not a head of state, exactly the half-step Beijing has taken all along. Pakistan sends its prime minister in person, because Islamabad is the mediator and wants the credit. And Iraq's president, the Afghan foreign minister, a Hamas delegation, the Near Abroad and the Resistance Network, showing up in full. What the list tells you is who is willing to be photographed standing with Tehran 11 days after two other states killed its head of state. That is a smaller and more eastern list than Iran would have drawn a decade ago, and a larger one than Washington would like.
And I want to hold the thing the 10 million number is doing. A head of state was assassinated by two other states, and a nation is putting 10 million people in the streets to answer that. Whatever you think of Khamenei, the repression, the executions, the proxy wars, and there is a mountain to hold against him, the funeral is not really about him anymore. It's about the killing. Iran is using the grief to make a point the whole region can see. You can kill our leader, and we will fill the streets from Tehran to Mashhad. That is what defiance looks like when it's dressed as mourning, and it's genuine mourning, and it's staged politics at the same time, and both are true.
And the diplomacy is holding its breath underneath all of it. The US-Iran talks in Doha paused for the funeral. They resume after the procession's end. But the nuclear file is hardening while everyone mourns. IAEA Chief Rafael Grossi says inspectors will have to have access and inspect the sites under the deal. Iran's Parliament Speaker Kalibaf says inspectors are barred from the bombed sites under any circumstances. Access only to Bushehr and the Tehran research reactor. Those two statements cannot both be the deal. So the single most important question in the world right now is being argued over a coffin.
Heap. And that is the danger the funeral is masking. The IAEA lockout is the most consequential development of the week, and it is getting the least attention because the processions are louder. Once inspectors are barred from Fordow, Natanz and Isfahan, the world is guessing at Iranian enrichment instead of measuring it. The talks resume Thursday. That is the moment the mourning ends and the arithmetic returns.
The watch. The Mashhad burial and any security incident across the remaining processions, whether Grossi and Tehran can be reconciled when Doha resumes, and the final confirmed international guest list. Saturday, the 4th of July. The United States turned 250 years old. President Trump keynoted the Salute to America 250 on the National Mall before a crowd officials put north of a million. His line, "With a single sheet of parchment and 56 signatures, America began the greatest political journey in human history." The night closed with what organizers billed as the largest fireworks display in history, around 850,000 shells, though the Guinness record has not been certified. He'd kick the day off at Mount Rushmore. Two things ran underneath the celebration. One, during the address, the president promoted his Save America Act, the election administration overhaul that's been the sticking point in the FISA fight, and he returned repeatedly to attacks on communism. Two, it was the hottest 4th of July on record in Washington, 102 degrees, breaking a mark set in 1919. Heat and severe weather forced cancellations in Hartford, Harrisburg, and Wilkes-Barre, and briefly scattered the crowds in Boston and Philadelphia.
I love the 4th. I want to be careful here because the day deserves better than cynicism. 250 years is a real achievement, and the people on that mall came out for something true. But you do not get to pitch the Save America Act, a bill that changes who can vote and how, months before midterm, inside a speech about freedom, and have it pass unnoticed. The setting is the argument. Wrapping an election law fight in the 250th birthday is a choice about what the anniversary is for. And a record fireworks show over a city at 102 degrees on the hottest 4th ever recorded, with towns across the Northeast canceling their own, that's a portrait of the country right now, if you want one.
Bash, I'll take the other half. And it's not really the other half. A republic reaching 250 years is genuinely rare and worth marking without apology. Most republics fracture or calcify long before this. That the country can stage a million-person celebration and argue bitterly about its election laws in the same breath is not hypocrisy. It's the system functioning. Where I'll agree with you entirely, the SAVE Act belongs in the Senate, not the semi-quincentennial. Using the anniversary as a venue for it cheapens the anniversary. That's a matter of taste and propriety, and the propriety was not observed.
And the number that frames the whole party, 38 approve, 55 disapprove. That's the June Quinnipiac. A million people on the Mall and a record fireworks show. And a country where a clear majority disapproves of how the president is handling immigration, the economy, foreign policy, and the Iran war. The celebration was real. So is the split it was staged over.
The watch. Whether the Save America Act moves in the Senate now that it's been given the 250th stage, and the running heat emergency as the record 4th becomes a record summer. The same week, the president's annual financial disclosure hit the public record. Donald Trump reported more than $2.2 billion in income for 2025, and roughly $1.2 billion of it came from crypto. The breakdown, per the filing and the reporting on it, more than $500 million from the sale of World Liberty Financial Tokens, the crypto venture tied to the Trump family, $65 million more from selling equity in its holding company, and $635 million in royalties from Celebration Coins, the meme coin business run through an entity called CIC Digital. Add the rest, more than $290 million from golf and clubs, and millions from Trump-branded Bibles, sneakers and watches. The watches alone brought in $4.7 million. Forbes now estimates his net worth at $6.5 billion. Bloomberg says 7.6. The filing logs more than 21,000 securities trades in his first year back in office.
Okay, let's do the receipt properly, because this one is a machine. $635 million in meme coin royalties. A meme coin is a token with no underlying business. Its price is pure momentum and hype. When the president launches one, the hype is the presidency. And here's the part that isn't in the celebration. While Trump collected the royalties, the retail buyers of those coins mostly lost money. The Boston Globe headline said it plainly. His wealth skyrocketed via crypto, while investors got hammered. That's the structure of a meme coin. The launcher takes fees off every trade. The crowd chasing it holds the bag. $1.2 billion, and the counterparty was the public.
Heap, and I'll hold you to precision, because the precision is damning enough without stretching. The meme coin mechanics are, as you say, royalties and fees to the issuer, price risk to the buyer. Where I'd be careful, investors got hammered is true in aggregate and for the late buyers. Some early ones profited. The clean charge isn't everyone lost, it's the conflict. A sitting president earning $1.2 billion from an asset class his own administration regulates. That's the thing no ethics framework was built to handle. And his answer to it, the president's line, was that outside funds run my money, that he's not managing it day to day. A blind trust is supposed to make that true. 21,000 trades and a family crypto venture are not a blind trust.
And connected to the day before. The 250th birthday speech and the $1.2 billion crypto disclosure are the same week. One is the country's founding parchment. The other is celebration coins. The presidency is being run as a brand, and the brand is monetized in real time. Bibles, watches, meme coins, from inside the office. The founders in that parchment speech were worried about exactly one thing above all others. A leader who cannot tell his own interests from the public's. The disclosure is that worry, itemized.
Stack the receipts and you get a president who took in more from a meme coin in 1 year than most administrations' entire ethics-covered net worth, sold it to the public, and pitched an election bill at the birthday party. It's all one story.
The watch. Whether any congressional committee or the Office of Government Ethics acts on the crypto conflict, and the World Liberty Financial Tokens price against the insider sale timing. Ukraine. The military picture shifted over the past month, and the weekend reporting sharpened it. Ukraine's military estimates Russia took nearly 40,000 casualties in June alone, 39,490 by Kyiv's count, far more than Russia's estimated monthly recruitment can replace. Al Jazeera's framing? Russia's summer advance is collapsing and anxiety is rising in Moscow. Behind it, a deliberate campaign. June 25th, President Zelensky announced a 40-day push of mid- and long-range strikes to force Russia toward ending the war. Strikes on Russian logistics, warehouses, convoys, bridges, rose from 210 in May to 303 in June. Over July 1st and 2nd, Ukraine destroyed 12 electricity substations in southern Crimea, part of a campaign to make the peninsula militarily unusable. But the war still cuts both ways. July 2nd, a Russian ballistic missile and drone barrage on Kyiv killed at least 31 people.
The casualty asymmetry is the story, and it's the one to handle carefully. These are Ukrainian figures. Kyiv has every reason to publish high Russian losses, and independent verification at this scale is impossible. So treat 40,000 as a claim, not a measurement. That said, the pattern is corroborated by the logistics strike data and the collapse of Russian territorial gains, which are harder to fake. The plausible read is that Russia's summer offensive has culminated. It has stopped advancing and is paying a rate it cannot sustain. That's not a Ukrainian victory. It's a Russian stall, which is a different and more fragile thing. A stalled offensive is exactly when a cornered power reaches for escalation.
And the 31 dead in Kyiv are the correction to any triumphalism. Russia's advance can be collapsing on the map and still killing civilians in the capital every week. The 40-day strike campaign is Zelensky's bet that pain can be made to end the war. It's a rational bet. It's also a bet that trades more war now for less war later. And the people in that Kyiv apartment block on the 2nd paid the now.
The Watch. Whether Russia's stall holds through July or breaks one way or the other, and whether Zelensky's 40-day campaign changes anything in Moscow's calculus or only its casualty lists. Four beats to close. 1. Anthropic. Fresh off the fable and mythos restoration, the company launched Claude Science, more than 60 research tools, and a drug discovery program aimed at neglected diseases, in beta for paying tiers. And the governance news. The White House Voluntary AI Standards Framework, set up by a June executive order, is due to be finalized by August 1st. It's the framework expected to define the conditions for broadly releasing frontier models like OpenAI's gov-gated GPT 5.6. That deadline is the one to watch. 2. FISA. Section 702, Day 25. Still no procedural path, and now the Save America Act, the piece Trump keeps tying to the surveillance renewal, just got the 250th anniversary spotlight. Watch whether that changes the Senate math. 3. The UK. Andy Burnham's Labour leadership nominations open Thursday, July 9th, and close the 16th. Uncontested, he's Prime Minister July 17th. 4. The Doha talks resume after the funeral, with the frozen funds mechanism, the Strait of Hormuz, and the IAEA lockout all still open.
The Anthropic move is more consequential than a product launch and worth one beat. A frontier lab pointing its most capable models at neglected disease drug discovery is the strongest public case for the technology anyone has made this year. The counterweight to the mean coin story two sections ago. This is what the capability is actually for when it's pointed well. And the White House framework, if it lands this week, is the other half of the fable saga we tracked. The government formalizing the terms it improvised during the shutdown. The template becomes the rule.
And the through line on the Pfizer beat, 25 days lapsed, the longest since 2008, and the bill that could unstick it just got sold as patriotism at a birthday party. The surveillance renewal is now downstream of an election law fight that was staged on the National Mall. That's not how the most important intelligence authority in the country is supposed to be decided.
The Watch. The White House AI framework, if it publishes this week, the FISA and SAVE Act math in the Senate, Burnham's nominations Thursday, and the Doha resumption once Mashhad is done. Package install success. I'm Pip.
I'm Bash. Today's through line. Iran spent the weekend putting 10 million people in the streets to bury the leader the U.S. and Israel killed. Mourning and defiance in the same procession, while the nuclear inspection standoff hardened underneath and the Doha talks waited for the coffin to reach Mashhad. America turned 250 on the hottest fourth on record, with a record fireworks show, a Save America Act pitch woven into the speech, and a country that a majority says it disapproves of. The president's disclosure showed $1.2 billion in crypto, meme coins sold to a public that mostly lost, the founding parchment speech, and the celebration coins in the same week. Russia's summer advance is reported collapsing at a cost it can't replace, though a barrage still killed 31 in Kyiv. And Anthropic pointed its best models at neglected diseases as the White House prepares to write the AI rules it improvised in June. Pfizer hit day 25.
We're at annardudley.com and on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Tomorrow, the Doha resumption watch, the White House AI framework if it lands, and whatever the funeral's final day brings. And still in production, two special editions, the SCOTUS session review and the Wild Reforms survey. Watch for both. Anna's brand is rigor. Sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.